Grace and peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ bless you and fill you with his love as we continue in our worship of him through the proclamation of his word. We as believers in the inspired, inerrant, infallible word of God understand in our hearts that it has total authority in all aspects of our lives. We therefore do not stand over God's word, but rather it stands over us. I am thankful for the work of God's grace in our lives. I am committed to proclaim his grace through his gospel. I am thankful for each one of you here this morning, whether you are members of our congregation or someone who is visiting with us one time or someone who may be searching for a home where the word of God is taught and lived, whether you are here in person or listening to us or watching us over the internet, the radio, or the television. Know that God's grace belongs to you through faith in Jesus. I look forward to the work of God in and through you as we stand united in the living hope of Jesus Christ. I also thank you for your support of this ministry. With your committed support, we are enabled to go on preaching God's truth that we are blessed with in his word. Our scripture this morning is found in the second epistle of Peter. The word of God reads like this: Simon Peter, a bondservant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Jesus our Lord. Please pray with me. Most gracious and loving Father, our lives sit before you, before your throne. We ask you, Lord, to receive the offering of praise and honor that you deserve. You are our only reason for joy. In you, we are made safe from the storms of the world. By you, we are empowered to become your children. Father, grant us the grace to hear the truth of your words. Allow us the opportunity to receive this simple greeting and to receive from it the grace that you desire. We stand before you this morning imploring of you that you would fill us, Lord, with your spirit, allowing us to hear the words and to see the truth of your word, to keep us strong, to encourage us in our faith. Gracious Lord, your words of truth sanctify us. With them we look forward to your return. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This week we begin our study through the second letter of Peter. The second letter of Peter does not necessarily mean that it was written second. In fact, most scholars would agree that this letter was probably written first due to the content and to whom the letter was addressed. The first letter was called first simply because it was longer. And it addresses, as you are well aware, the truth that the followers of Jesus Christ will face certain hardships and testing. Nero was in charge. Rome was hostile to the Christians. Peter's death occurred during that time, around 64 AD. That leads us to conclude that 1 Peter was Peter's last letter. And likewise, 2 Peter was Peter's first letter, which was written to address a Gentile audience, warning them to never raise the doctrine of man to the same level as the gospel of Jesus Christ. Peter tells us, hear the gospel alone, without regard for the doctrines of man. For no prophecy ever came at the impulse of man, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. You'd find that passage in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. This morning, we're looking at the greeting of this letter. I've entitled this message, Hello Again. I've entitled it that way to aid you in your recall of the deep truths that are often buried in the very simple words of a greeting. When I think of greetings, I more often or not recall the warmth of an Irish greeting. Words that lift up your spirits, encouraging you to face the day with certainty and boldness. Words that roll off the tongue, that are filled with warmth, providing you with a reason to meet the day head on. Think of these words, and you've heard them probably. May the road rise up to meet you. May the wind always be at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face, and the rains fall soft upon your fields. Until we meet again, may God hold you in the hollow of his hand. Or perhaps, may you live as long as you want, and never want as long as you live. The last example, may your neighbors respect you, may trouble neglect you, the angels protect you, and heaven accept you. There are three but of many, many Irish sayings and greetings. Each one leaves us feeling just a little better, didn't it? A little better than when perhaps we met. And that is Peter's objective as he greets the church with encouraging truths, proclaiming who we are and what we have received as followers of Jesus Christ, leaving you feeling a little better when you leave than perhaps when you met. The following three thoughts this morning will be explored. Look at the word elucidation. We will look at the word encouragement, and then expectation. We find each of these truths in our text this morning. To elucidate is to make lucid or to make clear, to throw light upon a subject, to provide an explanation. In the case of the letter, Peter begins by shining a light on who he is. He looks to explain to the readers and the hearers of his word why it is that they should pay attention to the content of this letter. Peter clarified for the readers exactly who he was, provided them with a valid reason for them to listen to his words. First off, Peter identified himself not only as Peter, but he had Simeon, which speaks to the Semitic origin of his life. The Greek equivalent would be Simon. All of this to say that Peter is emphasizing to his readers the truth of his Jewish descent. Peter adds the truth that he is a bondservant, that he is a slave of Jesus Christ. When Peter calls himself an apostle, he looks for you to recognize his office. He wants you to understand the authority by which he is empowered to write words that will change your life. This is not the case as Peter identifies himself to us as a slave. To self-identify yourself as a slave is to come to the realization, to make the proclamation of your humility before the throne of God. To be a slave places Peter on the same level as us, his readers. Peter is one whose will is submitted wholly, totally, to his divine master, who bought him and who bought us, his readers, to be his own through the shedding of his blood. 1 Corinthians 6:20 tells us, as Paul speaks to us and allows us to see the truth, that you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Or later in the same letter, Paul states, you were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. Identifying for us the truth of us being bought by Jesus Christ's blood. So Peter is identifying himself as one who has been like us, been bought with that price of Christ's blood. Being bought with a price makes us all slaves to the living under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Peter is not using slave in the sense of being held to service or involuntary service, but rather unquestioning submission to the will of God. Peter proclaims his submission to God's will, and in doing so warns his readers against backsliding. He warns his readers against mocking the glorious return of our Lord. Peter is saying that he and his readers are of like mind. They all bow before the mighty Lord. They are all governed by his divine will alone. They all stand in horror as they watch the fool snap their fingers at obedience to God's will and the idea of Christ's promised return. Slave of Jesus is prominent in our place. We in Christ are high and lifted up. Peter is one with us, an apostle, yes, but still, and most importantly, nothing except for by the grace of God. A slave of God who, like Peter, is given a great commission to proclaim the name of his Lord and Savior throughout the nations. We, friends, are likewise honored to be called slaves of Jesus, called to spread the gospel to the ends of the world. So Peter writes with authority as one who is called by God to serve him by proclaiming the assurance of salvation through the finished work of Jesus Christ for the rescue of mankind from their sin. Our second word this morning is encouragement, as Peter looks to encourage his Gentile readers' faith, allowing their faith to grow and to prosper by a proper understanding of the shared origin of each man's faith. The word reads, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours. Peter's acknowledgement and encouragement to us here is that the faith that belongs to him as an apostle is the same faith that belongs to all Jewish Christians. The faith that is the same, that is ours as the Gentile readers of this letter. Our faith is just as valuable. It has the same end result as the faith of the apostles and the Jews. There is not a higher grade of faith reserved for some persons or people groups. Faith is faith is faith. There is nothing greater or stronger than faith in our Savior, Jesus Christ. The important distinction here is that we would never place our faith in the strength of our faith. Our faith is objective faith. It has an object. The object of our faith is Jesus Christ. In him, for his sake, we are cleansed from our sins. In him, for his sake, we boldly approach the throne of God as blameless sinners. In him, for his sake, we receive the promise and the assurance of everlasting life. In Christ alone, through faith alone, we are rescued from death. We are born again to a new life. Peter says to you, the Gentile believers, whose faith, like that of all Gentile believers, is of equal value with our faith, that of the Jewish believers. The basis for this truth is found in Acts 15:7-9. Peter stood up and said to them, brethren, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you that by my mouth the Gentiles would hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, testified to them, giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us and he made no distinction between us and them, cleansing their hearts by faith. And again in Acts 11:17, the word reads, therefore if God gave them the same gift as us, he gave to us also after believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I, that I could stand in God's way. We see here in these verses that the equality of faith rests in the source. Faith is God's gift to us. Faith is not a product of our work or our desire. God gives us faith, and the faith that he provides us is the same faith that he provides for all believers. So why is the truth important for Peter to stress? First, we see the truth that Jesus Christ, our God and our Savior, values our faith as highly as he does Peter's faith, and equal to those of all Jewish believers, of all Christians who have given their life to their Lord and Savior, Jesus. None of these things are exclusive. None of these truths are exclusive that pertain only to Jews. Peter emphasizes the truths of all Scripture, all of its promises, all of its examples of judgment that will come to unbelievers, all of the truths of God's eternal kingdom, all of the truths surrounding the promise of Christ's second coming pertains to everyone, to all Christians alike. Peter doesn't want us to share the fate of those who have chosen to scoff at God's word, for they will surely be condemned by that word. So he encourages us in our faith to walk by taking us to the word of prophecy, encouraging us to take heart in the truth that every and each promise and prophecy belongs to us. Promises of salvation are ours. Promises of condemnation belong to those who reject God's grace. No one is exempt from the blessings or the curses as they apply to our hearts. These are all obtained for us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The truth is, God gives us all this valuable gift, our faith. Our faith is a gift to be treasured and valued above all earthly gifts. Because our faith rests only on and in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whose work is finished, whose work has taken our place, who has cleansed us forever from the stain of our sin, who has gone to his cross as he did. He prepared a place for us in his mansion of glory. Our faith is always connected to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Our declaration of righteousness is a bold truth that belongs to us when Christ Jesus declares that we are righteous. The righteousness in our text this morning is the redemptive righteousness revealed that produces our salvation. The truth is the verdict pronounced upon us by Christ, the righteous judge, on all faith equally. The imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ shows no bias or distinction. It belongs to all of us who come before God's throne in faith. Our third word this morning is that of expectation. Now and finally, we address the proper greeting. Like we discussed in verse 1, we are looking at faith that is connected to righteousness. So we have here the understanding that our grace and our peace are directly connected to the knowledge of one truth. Knowledge is always the product of hearing and receiving God's word. We receive from God his undeserved favor. We hear and hold on to the truth. We praise the glory of his grace, which he has freely bestowed upon us, the beloved. We read that truth in Ephesians 1, verse 6. The beloved is Jesus Christ. The grace is his gift that comes to us from the Father. That's the aim of the entire letter, to increase the knowledge of God's grace bestowed on us through the beloved, on the hearts of you and I, and all believers, so that when grace and peace are multiplied in our lives, that we are made able to live with full expectation, that we are filled with all godliness and are fully fortified to refute the attacks of our enemy. This is true. This is full knowledge. This truth comes to us from our Savior, Jesus Christ our Lord. Peter magnifies God's glory by highlighting the knowledge which is his desire for all of us to hold on to. Peter extols the virtues of Jesus Christ as our Savior, Lord. He is our Lord. We are his slaves. We have been purchased. We have been won by him forever. We are under no authority except his. Our will is his alone. Savior is placed first, so that we would desire to follow under the lordship of the one who rescued us from sin and death. There is no Lord like our Lord. He alone is the Lord. And there is no greater pleasure in the world than the pleasure that belongs to us as his slaves. This is the confession of faith, providing for us the truth of our unity, assured in Jesus Christ, our Lord. So as greetings go, this one authored by God, inspired in Peter, provides us with the truth that the old Irish greetings can never compare. Sure, they offer pretty sounding words of comfort, but the greeting that is ours from God provides us objective truth, which allows us to live in the knowledge of the assurance of our salvation. In that objective truth, we are made able to leave here feeling better than when we first came. So I ask you to grasp hold of that truth this morning, to hold on to it into your heart, to allow God to prepare you to face the world head on without fear, in the knowledge and truth of Jesus our Lord. Amen.